with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are truly grateful for another day to be alive and thankful for the health and the means to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for those that are with us. And Lord, we know there are other people that would sure love to be here today, but they can't, and we pray for them. Ask you to bless them and take care of their needs. We pray again for all those that have been mentioned. Ask that you help them as only you can. Lord, we're so thankful that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. That we never have a problem that's too big, a burden that's too heavy. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done and are doing and will continue to do in our lives and in this church. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me to say exactly what you want said. Lord, please put in my mind, in my mouth, my heart, each word. And Lord, I pray for liberty, clarity of thought and speech, that I can convey the message in a way that people will understand. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The verses we've just read are at least familiar to most church-going people. If by chance they've never read it or read them, they've heard them referenced or preached from in a sermon. These verses are some that I reference about every time I pray before I preach. I just did it a moment ago, and I do it almost every time that I pray before I preach. I'll say, Lord, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And that comes straight from the verses that we just read. And a simple reading of this text shows that James's emphasis or his focus is what he calls in verse number 18, the word of truth. There in verse number 18, it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And obviously, James is referring here to the word of God. And he calls it the word of truth because, as we know, the word of God is absolute truth. In fact, it is the only source of absolute, infallible, inspired truth on this planet today. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 17 and verse number 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And six times in these verses here, James makes mention in some way of the word of God or the word of truth. He does so there in verse number 18. He does again in verse 21, verse 22, verse 23, and a couple of different times in verse number 25. In verse 25, notice there James says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect," notice he says that the Scripture is perfect. Amen. We're not dealing with a book that has flaws or problems of any kind. We are dealing with the perfect Word of God. And James says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that law of liberty here is a reference to the Word of God, to the Word of truth. And notice, the Bible is a book of liberty. James calls it the law of liberty. The Bible is not given to us to put us in bondage. The Bible is given to us to give us freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth doesn't put you in bondage. The truth gives you liberty. So he says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that is a reference to the Word of God. And then he says, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." In verse 22 and 23 and 24, he talks about being a doer of the word. But in this verse, he calls it a doer of the work. And that too is a reference to the Word of God. It references the things in the Bible that God expects us to do. So six times in these verses, James makes mention of the Word of God. And what I want to do in the next few minutes is give you three words. I'm just going to give you three words that I believe help explain what James says here about people's relationship with the Word of truth. The first word that I want to give you is there in verse number 18. I want to give you the word begat. Begat. He says in verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us." The word begat is the past tense of beget. When you look up the definition, you find that it means reproduction. It means to father, to generate, to give life. It has to do with producing a birth. That's what the word means, or what it deals with. And here in this verse, verse number 18, James says, "Of his," that's the Lord, "of his own will begat he us." So it is the Lord that begat us. He is the one that begat us. That means he is the one that brought about our new birth. That's what James is talking about here. He's not talking about people experiencing a physical birth. He's talking about people experiencing a spiritual birth. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ calls in John chapter 3, being born again. That's what James is referring to. And he says, it is the Lord that gave us this birth. We are the begotten of God. In the book of John, chapter 1, in verse number 13, the Bible says that we are born, talking about our spiritual birth, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were born again by the Lord. He is the one that begat us. And in verse number 18, you see that this was in accordance with his will. Right? Y'all still with me? Y'all that went to sleep yet, have you? Give me a few more minutes before you nod off, if you don't mind. Verse number 18, "Of his own will begat he us. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So this birth that we experienced, it came from God, and it was in accordance with his will. But the thing that I want you to notice is what the Lord used to bring about this birth. How we became the begotten of God. Look in verse number 18. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." How is it that God brought about our new birth? How did he beget us? How did he become our father? How did we become a part of his family? How did he give us the life that we so desperately needed? What was it that he used to bring about this birth this experience. What was it? The Word of God, right? That's what he says here. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. The thing we all need to remember is that it takes a seed to reproduce. Amen. Takes a seed to reproduce. This is true whether you're talking about plants or people. It makes no difference. If you go back to the beginning of your Bible, the book of Genesis, and read about the creation and how God created the herbs and the different fruits and vegetables and all that sort of stuff, you see that the Bible says there that he created them with their seed in themselves. You know why God created all of those different things with a seed? Reproduction. In order to have more herbs, to have more fruits, to have more vegetables, you know what you got to have? You got to have seed. So he put the seed in the different things that he created so that those things could reproduce. The same is true even of people. When he created Adam and Eve, you know what he said to them? He said, be fruitful. Isn't that what he said? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. That's what God said to Adam and Eve. But in order for that had to happen, there had to be a seed, right? So God put the seed in the man so that men and women could have offspring, so that a birth could take place. Without the seed, there can be no reproduction. And the same is true when you're talking about our spiritual birth. The only way that people can be born again is for a seed to be involved. And I want to show you what that seed is. Hold your place here. Go to the very next book, the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just like there has to be a seed for a physical birth, there has to be a seed for a spiritual birth. There has to be a seed for a spiritual birth. You cannot have a spiritual birth without a seed. Cannot happen. Y'all need to pay attention to that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter says, being born again. Y'all see it? Y'all with me? Being born again, how? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is that incorruptible seed? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know what seed God used to bring about our birth, to put us in his family, to become our father, to give us life? The incorruptible seed of his word. That's what he used. That's what James is talking about back here in James chapter 1 when it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He's talking about how God used his incorruptible seed, his word, to bring about our new birth. Without that, you cannot have a birth. You need to understand that principle. Without the word of God, nobody can be born again. You understand this morning that if God had not given us the incorruptible seed of his word, every one of us would be lost and on our way to hell. None of us would be in his family. None of us would have life. We would still be dead in our sins and destined for an eternity in hell. This, I believe, number one, should give us a greater appreciation for this book that we're reading from right here. We should have a greater appreciation for God's word, knowing that without his word, we'd be hopeless this morning. Hopeless. We ought to, everyone, thank God for the word of God. We ought to be grateful to him. We ought to praise him for his word. We ought to respect the word, reverence the word. We ought to love the word. I am afraid, talking about how we take things for granted so often, and I guess that's kind of how we are, especially as Americans. We're so blessed, amen? We're so blessed in so many ways that it's very easy for us to take things for granted. And I'm not just talking about the physical and material things that we enjoy every day. Thank God for all that. But I'm talking even more about the spiritual blessings that we enjoy as Americans. We are a blessed people. We have access to the Word of God like hardly any other country in the entire world. There are people in places in this world right now who do not even have a copy of the Bible. Y'all understand that? There are places where missionaries go and there is such a famine of the Bible that they'll take one Bible and give it to the people, and they will literally take pages out of the Bible and books out of the Bible and disperse them amongst the congregation just so people in the church will have some portion of God's Word. And here we live in this land of plenty, in this land of bounty, and the Word of God is available to all of us. We can go to town and stop in at the Christian bookstore or Walmart or wherever we want to go, and we can get our hands on the Bible. Amen. We have the Word of God. It's so prevalent that I am afraid many times we don't appreciate the Bible the way we should. I'm afraid we take it for granted. And I tell you something that you have to watch out for. And this is directed to this congregation right here. This church is privileged, and please, this is not a shameful plug for myself here, okay? This is just the cold, hard truth, as George Jones used to say. Cold, hard truth. This church right here is privileged to have a Bible-believing preacher. You got that? And again, that's not patting me on the back. I'm just telling you the truth. You have a Bible-believing preacher, and every Sunday that you make it to church, you get preached to from the Bible. You know what I'm afraid happens sometimes, though? I'm afraid you take that for granted sometimes. I don't think you mean to. I think it's just something that we all struggle with. Familiarity breeds contempt sometimes. And when you have such an abundance of something, if you're not careful, you begin to take that for granted. All of us in this church are blessed, just as Americans, to have access to the Bible, and then you people are privileged to be in a church that still believes the Bible. And by the grace of God, as long as He gives me my mind and ability, I'm going to always believe the Bible. And I'm going to always preach from the Bible. And I'm going to always encourage you to believe the Bible and read the Bible and love the Bible. Let's be careful that we don't take His Word for granted. Each of us need a deeper appreciation for the Bible because, first of all, without this book, we wouldn't even be saved today. Wouldn't even be saved. So this ought to give us a greater appreciation for the Word of God. Number two, I tell you what else it ought to do. It ought to cause us to be more aggressive in our efforts to spread the Word of God. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to ask you something here. We'll set you up just a little bit. You know that's the way I do things. You believe the Bible, right? You believe it? You believe that without it, a person can't be saved? You believe that? You can't. I mean, it's reality. Every person that is saved right now has come in contact with the Word somewhere. I mean, it just had to happen because you got to have a seed to have a birth, right? Now, maybe they weren't actually looking in a Bible and reading a Bible when they got saved, but I'm telling you, if they're saved, somewhere along the line, somebody gave them some Bible or they're not saved, okay? You can't be saved without the Bible. So you believe the Bible. You believe a person can't be saved without the Bible, right? You believe that with all your heart this morning? You know what that ought to do? That ought to make you more aggressive in spreading the Word of God. I mean, if we really believe what we say we believe, and I fear that, just like I'm afraid we oftentimes take the Word of God for granted, I fear that sometimes we don't believe as strongly in the things that we say we believe. I heard a fellow say one time, he was kind of an atheist person, he had been talked to by a Christian he had been witnessed to, and that Christian told him that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. Without Christ, there was no hope. He'd die in his sins. He'd go to hell, and that's the way it was for everybody in the whole entire world. And after listening to all of that, that atheist said to him, you know, if I really believe what you say you believe, I would crawl around the world on my knees on broken glass to make sure that everybody heard the Word of God. What kind of effort are you putting in when it comes to spreading the Word of God? We're a Bible-believing church, amen? We believe the Word of God. We say we believe it. We believe nobody can be saved without the Bible. If that is true, what are we doing? What are we doing with it? When was the last time you shared the Bible with anybody? I'm not talking about politics and your opinion and what you think about things. I mean, when was the last time you talked to somebody about the infallible, perfect Word of God and told them what it says about salvation? What I'm talking about here should cause us to have a greater appreciation for the Word, and it should cause us to be more aggressive in our efforts in spreading the Word. Now here I want to give you a second word this morning. Not only the word begat, there's another word used here that I want to talk about a little while, and that's the word behold. The word behold. A form of this word, a couple of forms of this word, are seen there in verse number 23, verse number 24. Look at verse 23. James says, If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. The word behold means to see. It means to observe, to view, to gaze. It means to look at. And James uses the forms of this word because in verse number 25, he talks about people looking. You see that? Verse 25, he uses the word or a form of the word behold because in verse 25 he talks about people looking into the perfect law of liberty. He's talking in this passage about people looking into the Word of God, and in verse number 23 he says it like this. He says he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. When you put all that together, what you learn is that looking into the Bible is like what? Looking into a mirror, right? When you look into the perfect law of liberty, it's like looking into a mirror. That's what he means when he talks about a person beholding their natural face in a glass. He's talking about somebody looking in a mirror. And when you open the Bible and you look into it, or if you open your Bible and you hear the Bible preached, ever how you look into it, it's like looking into a mirror. And that is one reason, by the way, why some people don't look into the Bible. Because the Bible is like a mirror. You know what it does? When you look into the Bible, it shows you, as James says here, what manner of person you are. You know what a mirror does all the time? Let me think about it for a minute. Because the Bible is like a mirror, right? It's like a glass that you look into. That's what the Bible is. You know what a mirror does every time you look into it? It tells you the truth, doesn't it? I mean, you can get all gushied up and slicked up and think, boy, I'm looking good today. And then look in the mirror and have a booger in your nose, or, you know, hair sticking up in the back like alfalfa. Before you looked in that mirror, you thought you was all that, didn't you? Man, I got it all. And then you look in the mirror and something ain't right. Something's out of place there. Or perhaps you look in the mirror and you are confirmed with the opinion you already had. You just further say, yeah, I really do look good. You know, I'm a nice looking individual. But the mirror tells you the truth every time. It never lies to you. The mirror never worries about your feelings, does it? Do you know the Bible never worries about your feelings? I mean, really. It doesn't try to be politically correct. It doesn't try to say everything just right so it doesn't offend people or run people off. The Bible is just the Bible, isn't it? God has given us His Word, and He's not going to change it for anybody. He's not going to add to it. He's not going to take from it. He's not going to change it with the times so that it becomes less offensive to wicked people that want to live wicked lives. He's not going to do that. He has given us the only Bible we're ever going to have right here. This thing is forever settled in heaven, the Bible says. So it tells you the truth. It doesn't worry about your feelings. That's how a mirror is. That mirror tells you the truth. That mirror is not worried about your feelings. It's just there. You look into it, you get a reflection of yourself. You see who you are, what kind of person you are, what you look like. That's exactly how it is when you look into the Bible. When you look into the Bible, it tells you the truth every single time. That's why James, again, calls it the word of truth, because it tells you the truth every time. Isn't that refreshing? Isn't it? It should be. It should be refreshing seeing that we live in a world of falsehood and deceit and deception. And like, do you ever just get sick and tired of people lying to you all the time? You ever just get sick and tired of turning on the television and some liberal egghead on there telling you another bald-faced lie to try to get across their political agenda? Don't you just get sick of that mess? Isn't it refreshing? I don't know what it does for anybody else, but man, when I open up my Bible every day and I read my Bible, it is so refreshing. Even if I'm reading what the Bible says and that Bible is showing me something in my life that's not right, it is still refreshing to me because I know that what it says is the truth. Every time. Never tells me a lie about anything. Every time I look in it, I see a reflection. Shows me the person that I am. And listen, this is positive and negative. The tendency is to read this and think that it's only talking about the Bible showing us the negative in our lives. And it does, right? If you got stuff wrong in your life, the Bible will show you that. If you'll read it, if you'll listen to it, the Bible will show you the wrong in your life, the negative. But it doesn't just show you the negative, it shows you the positive. It shows you the good. It shows you who you are in Christ. And that's all stuff that we need to know. This is why it's important that we, as James says, look into the Bible. But listen to me. Here's the thing that I want you to see. It's not just that you are to look into the Bible as far as reading it or hearing it, but it's you putting what you see there into practice, right? That's the point, verse 22, 23, 24, 25. The point is that you be a doer of the word. Now look here what James says, and then I'm going to move on to the last point, but look at verse 23. Well, verse 22, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you hear it, but you don't do it, you deceive yourself. You lie to yourself, in other words. You fool yourself into believing something about you that's not right. You make a decision about the kind of person you are, and that decision is not right if you are a hearer and not a doer. Look at verse 23. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he looks at himself, he sees the kind of person he is, but then notice, and goeth his way, and what happens? When he gets out from in front of the mirror, what happens? It says, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He says the person that hears it but doesn't do it, just a hearer only, when they get away from what they've read or what they've heard, they forget who they really are. And this is the positive and the negative. If you don't put the Word of God into practice and be a doer of it, you will forget the negative things in your life that God has dealt with you about that you need to change. And also, you will forget the positive things that God has shown you about yourself. Why I think a lot of Christians live without the assurance of their salvation, and I found that to be something that a lot of Christians struggle with. They live in a perpetual state of doubt. Just, am I really saved? They just don't seem to have a firm grasp on that. They don't seem to be settled. One minute you see them and they seem like they're okay, and then the next minute they're disturbed and wondering, am I really? You know why I think a lot of Christians live without assurance of their salvation? It's a lack of obedience to the Bible. They are a forgetful hearer. They hear the Bible. They read the Bible. They look into the Bible. The problem is they're not doing the Bible. They may go to a Bible-believing church like here and hear the Bible every Sunday, but then when they leave, they don't make any changes. They don't put into practice the things that they've been taught or instructed by in the Scripture. They don't do that. They just go on living the same way. I mean, really, folks, really, the majority of people that go to church, that went to church this morning, you know what's going to happen? They went to church. They're in a service now. They'll get up and leave, and they may even get up and leave and say, man, I really enjoyed the service. That was a good message. I thought that was great. That was a good thought the pastor gave this morning. But they'll go back out tomorrow and the rest of the week, and they won't put any of that stuff into practice. You know what that does? That causes you to forget who you are in your life as a Christian, and you live in doubt all the time. The Bible says this, listen to me. Hereby, y'all listening? Hereby, we do know that we know Him because we keep His commandments. Y'all hear that? It doesn't say that if you don't keep His commandments that you're lost. It says the way that you know Him is how? By being a doer. If you're not a doer of the Word, you can look in here and look in here and look in here, but you will constantly struggle. You'll always be forgetting what God has shown you about yourself. It's imperative that you be a hearer and a doer. Here's a third word I want to give you, and I'll be done. The word begat, the word behold, and the word blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed, or they say they do. Look at verse 25. James says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that continuing therein is being a doer, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word blessed is like most words. It's got different definitions. One definition is to make holy, to be consecrated. Another is to be endowed with divine favor. That means, like we say, the blessings of God are in our lives. That means His favor is in our lives. Another definition of the word blessed is happy. Happy. I like that. Made holy, endowed with divine favor and happiness. According to what I read here, all of that applies. To be truly holy. To be endowed with the favor of God. And to really be happy. All of that comes from where? It comes from the Word, doesn't it? You cannot have real holiness apart from the Bible. Just like you can't have salvation without the Bible, you can't have holiness without the Bible. You can't have God's favor in your life to its fullest without the Word of God. You can't have it. You can't really be happy. You know why a lot of people are in such misery now? Why a lot of people are depressed, why they're sad, why they're miserable, why they have the mully grubs all the time when you get around them. You know why a lot of people are that way? Because they don't have the Word of God in their life. You can't have any of these things without the Word. But here it is. I'm not just talking about hearing the Word. That's not how you get holy. That's not how you get the favor of God. That's not how you get happy. Right? How do you get it? Look at it one more time. He says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's where a lot of people are at. A lot of saved people are just right there. They're hearers only. They hear the sermon. They just don't do it. Let me show you something and we'll be done. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Turn back to the book of Ezekiel with me. Turn as quickly as you can. Ezekiel chapter 33. Show you where a lot of God's people are at today. Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel 33, look at verse number 30. The the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying," this is what they say, "Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Come and hear what God's got to say." Verse 31, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." With their mouth they show much love. They say good things. "Well, that was a good sermon, preacher. I really enjoyed it. I got a blessing out of that today. I appreciate you saying that." But here's the problem. Look at verse 32. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument." You know what that means? They like to hear the guy, they like to hear Ezekiel preach and prophesy. Evidently, he was a good speaker. And they listen to him, they say, "Man, you're like a lovely song that somebody plays. We just enjoy hearing you preach, Ezekiel. Man, it's just a blessing to hear you preach." But here's the problem. Look at the end of verse 32. "For they hear thy words, but they do them not." You see that? That's the problem. That's where a lot of saved people are at. "Man, I love to hear my pastor preach. I just love to hear him speak. He's just such a good speaker." And, well, I don't know if that necessarily matters a whole lot. Bill Clinton was a good speaker. About 95% of what that man said was worthless as a dog's hind leg. You hear me? But people say, "Boy, I just love to hear him preach." Well, the thing that God wants to see in your life and mine is not how much we enjoy the sermon, but how much we're going to live the sermon. That's what God's looking at. And what I'm trying to tell you, according to the book of James chapter 1, for you to be blessed, for you to be really holy, for you to truly have the favor of God in your life and to be happy, it takes more than just coming to church and hearing the word. You got to hear it and do it. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for letting us be here in church. Thank you for the word of God that we have, for the truth. Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us. Please help each one of us to be a doer and not a hearer only. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jimmy.